Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with how much Mitt Romney has gotten away with in this election, having not released his tax returns, his list of bundlers, and not having spoken to the press for over 3 weeks at the close of a critical election. Alec McGillis, a senior editor at The New Republic, who is the magazine's chief correspondent for the 2012 campaign, joins us. He has an article at The New Republic, Romney's Secrecy, Did He Get Away With It? Then we'll speak with Kenneth Davis, the best-selling author of Don't Know Much About History and the Don't Know Much About series of books. We will discuss his latest book, Don't Know Much About the American Presidents, and his article at CNN, Economy Not Key to Incumbent Winning, which contradicts the conventional wisdom and political mantra, it's the economy, stupid. Then finally, with the cover of Business Week boldly stating it's global warming, stupid, we will look into the geopolitical, security, and economic implications of global warming with Cleo Pascal, the author of Global Warring, How Environmental, Economic, and Political Crises Will Redraw the World Map. We will discuss how much the U.S. is denying global warming while other powers are exploiting the new geostrategic landscape as the planet changes from global warming. Joining us now is Alec McGillis, a senior editor at The New Republic, serving as the magazine's chief correspondent for the 2012 campaign. Previously, he spent 5 years at The Washington Post covering politics and domestic policy, and also wrote for the Baltimore Sun. His latest article at The New Republic is Romney's Secrecy, Did He Get Away With It? Welcome to Background Briefing, Alec McGillis.
Glad to be back.
And it is a very disturbing to read your article in The New Republic, Romney's Secrecy, Did He Get Away With It? This, on top of the fact that Romney has not made himself available to the press for the last, longer than three weeks it's been now, hasn't it?
That's right. It's been, I think, 3 weeks and a day since he took any questions from reporters. It's rather extraordinary for someone who's maybe a few days from being elected president.
And we all have noticed the press shouting questions about FEMA at him, which he ignored. So combined with the fact that he hasn't been made himself available to the press for the last over 3 weeks and what you've written in your article, this is a fairly disturbing harbinger for what a Romney presidency could be. He might well treat it like, he's the CEO of the USA Incorporated, and he just delegates his statements via a vice president in charge of public affairs. And so we'll just get press releases. I mean, he's already set the stage and set the pattern with not releasing his tax return. So why shouldn't he get away with what he's getting away with in the campaign in a presidency?
That's a good question. I mean, he does seem to have a penchant for keeping things, playing his cards very close. We saw it even when he was governor of Massachusetts. He famously bought up the hard drives that his staff, for his staff's computers, when he left the state house in Massachusetts, bought them up and had them take them home with them, so that there would be no traces of his. Of his tenure on the hard drives in Boston, which is sort of an odd thing to have done. But then he took it a whole step further in this campaign with not just the tax records, but also his list of bundlers. These are the people who do your major fundraising and get all their associates and friends to give money. It's been completely standard practice for candidates to release the names of their bundlers. George Bush did it. John McCain did it. Barack Obama did it. Mitt Romney just announced this year that he would not do it. And so we have no idea who hundreds of people are who raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for him. It's quite striking.
And Alec McGillis, your article at The New Republic, Romney's Secrecy, Did He Get Away With It, begins with Newt Gingrich challenging him in the primaries about his tax returns, and that forced him to release just one, and then subsequent to that, he released a second one.
Right.
And basically, I guess the press traveling with him, have they just given up on trying to get the tax returns and the bundling list?
Well, they have. I mean, at some point, you just make yourself kind of tiresome if you keep pressing for it. I do think, though, that the press, not just the people traveling with him, they've got enough to do, but the press in general could have made a bigger deal out of this than they did. I mean, it's been weeks now since I've seen any kind of serious mention of his failure to release the Bundler list and the tax returns. It's almost as if he had done it and had gone away, but he didn't do it. It's pretty remarkable. You have someone who has a very, very complicated personal financial history, as we know, given the scale of his wealth and the kind of tax practices that we know he was engaged in, and all we have are the last 2 years of his returns. For all we know, there may have been. I mean, who knows why he's so reluctant to give up the more returns? But there is some speculation that, for instance, he may have. For all we know, he may have participated in the amnesty program that the IRS had a couple years ago to allow people with secret, unreported foreign accounts to bring money back without any kind of legal penalty. He may have participated in that. There are other questions about his huge retirement account and the trust fund he left for his sons and the sort of various ways that he managed to reduce taxes in a very big way on both of those areas. So, but we just don't know. And it's just kind of remarkable that he has managed to get through the campaign without releasing them. I was pretty sure that he was going to have to release more returns. Everyone, including all these Republicans, were urging him to do so. But he managed to get through without it.
And, of course, his huge retirement account is over $100 million, and his son's trust account is also, trust fund right. is over $100 million. So there's some serious money there, and there is, of course, the suspicion that the 2009 return would be the year that the IRS offered that amnesty program for right. Secret foreign bank accounts. So, you know, given the fact that his father started the tradition of presidents releasing all of their tax returns, and everybody, including McCain, did the stuff. In fact, Romney released his returns to McCain when he was being vetted for a possible VP. It is extraordinary, and you mentioned that the press sort of have given up. What can be done? I mean, do you think that there's this notion that in the court of public opinion, he will pay a price, but he seems to have made that calculation that it's better to pay the price than to release whatever it is that he doesn't want released.
Right. There's a real worry that he may have set a terrible precedent for the country, that future candidates will just say, look, if Mitt Romney didn't have to give up his taxes or a critical mass of taxes, why should I? If he got away without the giving up his bundlers, why should I? I think that the lesson we're going to take from this is really going to depend on the outcome next week. I think if Mitt Romney wins, it's very possible that he will have set these quite damaging precedents. If he doesn't win, then I think there will be, you know, a lot of people sort of trying to figure out why he didn't win, and I'm pretty sure that one of the theories will be that he was really hurt by this image that developed of him over the summer as someone with a problem with secrecy and a problem with, if you want to call it, sort of a plutocrat problem between his Bain Capital career and then all these questions about his taxes, and one can definitely make the case that his having withheld his taxes for so long and allowed all these questions to swirl up around them did hurt him at some level. He clearly just decided that damage that was caused by his not releasing them was worth it for him, because clearly something that was in those taxes that he thought was worse than the questions.
So, Alec McGillis, conversely, though, if he is elected, what does that say? I mean, does that say that the electorate has become cynical? Does it say that the electorate doesn't know the difference between voting for somebody on Dancing with the Stars or voting for the leader of the free world? I mean, what does it tell us about us?
Well, there are all sorts of reasons why he might win, and, you know, having to do with, you know, the state of the economy and some underperformance in certain areas by the president in his campaign, including that underwhelming first debate of his. But I think that as far as the tax returns go, I mean, I think this, if he does win, you'll have to look at this as I would say, as a failure by the press, and also a failure by the Obama campaign not to make a bigger issue out of it. I think that if the Obama campaign had pressed it more, pressed this issue more, that there would have been, that would have given the press in turn more reason to demand the returns. Again, whether that would have forced him to cough them up, who knows? But certainly, I think the Obama campaign could have made a bigger deal out of it. They decided not to, I think, because they also, I think, worried about seeming kind of whiny or even desperate. If they'd sort of kept it up, the drumbeat up about the tax returns these last few weeks, it might have not given off the most kind of the most confident vibe. But I just don't see it as any other way as lamentable at the end of the day, that we are about to have this election, and we just, there are these very basic questions about this one candidate and his sort of business slash personal financial past, and we just don't know a lot of these things about it, which is just kind of remarkable.
Well, Alec McGillis, it's pretty disturbing, though, to think that if Mitt Romney gets away with this, you know, and your point is well taken that the president may well have dropped the ball. I mean, he was given the most amazing gift to the Democrats were with that surreptitious tape where he mentioned the 47%. Right from the mouth of the candidate himself, you saw an enormous contempt for average Americans and unbridled arrogance. Now, you could maybe try to be fair and say, well, he was talking to a bunch of fat cats and maybe he was just pandering to them. But I think it's reasonable to assume that that was the real Romney speaking. So if you have a candidate who's already exhibited incredible arrogance and he doesn't believe that he owes the American people the kind of information that all other presidents before have provided them with, then you add the tax returns to that and the fact that on the campaign trail for the last 2 years, he's been pandering to the far right and the Tea Party people, making all kinds of promises. And then overnight, he basically made the calculation that, well, these people, you know, maybe they're stupid enough not to notice that I'm tacking to 180 degrees and now I'm courting the swing voters. So the question then arises, you know, is the guy lying to the Tea Party people or is he lying to the moderates? I don't get why the opposition, I mean, that's a standard question in British journalism, for example, when you ask a politician, you said X on Thursday and you said Y on Friday, were you lying on Thursday or are you lying on Friday? That's a standard question to a politician.
Right. And it's at such an entirely different level. It's been so dramatic and so ongoing with him that I think at some point it just becomes hard to even grasp it, the extent of the inconstancy. So at some point people just start to roll their eyes at it. And that was the real challenge for the Obama campaign, how to go after this. And they made a decision at the outset not to really cast Romney so much as a flip-flopper, because that would just maybe give assurance to swing voters that he would flip back to being a sort of Massachusetts moderate. Instead, they decided to cast him as conservative, but also as, and I think this is what the people often overlook, they cast him as sort of a 1% private equity plutocrat type who was out only for himself. And I think that they were actually quite effective at that, and the taxes were part of that over the summer, that and these quite devastating ads that they ran about his time at Bain Capital. And then the 47% played into that as well. If there's a critique that to make of the Obama campaign, though, I think it's whether they should have pressed that angle more in these last few weeks. I think that they kind of felt like they had done the job of on that front, and that they wanted to pull back from that a little bit in the last few weeks, so as not to seem too harsh or small at the end. But I do think he did pay a price for not giving up the tax returns. The question is whether he, at the end of the day, still kind of got away with something here. And you can't help but think that he did, because there's this information that we just don't know. And I should add, the bundlers are, I really think the bundlers are something he did not pay a price for. I mean, you'd barely hear anyone talking about the fact that he has not given up his list of bundlers. And this is just really important stuff. I mean, all these people who have played this huge role in raising money for him, for goodness knows what reasons and what motivations, and we just don't know. Whereas with Obama, you've seen good articles being written about various people raising money for him and the kind of connections or interests that they might have. And we just haven't been able to do that for Romney. We just don't know who these people are.
And, of course, that is part of the political DNA. The person who gives you money is the person who perhaps the candidate is going to do a favor for. And if it turns out that the person who's giving the candidate the money is a felon, for example, that's important information.
And I worry that future candidates will take this as a precedent, leave aside the tax return issue. I think that I don't see why any future candidate would agree to give up his list of bundlers when they've seen Mitt Romney not give it up and get away with not giving it up.
Again, I'm speaking with Alec MacGillis, senior editor at The New Republic, where he also serves as the magazine's chief correspondent for the 2012 campaign. He has an article at The New Republic, Romney Secrecy, Did He Get Away With It? Now, Bloomberg News had a glimmering of a news story that shed some insight into the way that Romney used the Mormon Church to shelter some of his investment gains from taxes. Where's that story going?
Well, it kind of got lost in all the storm talk. It came out, just on Monday as the storm was dominating the news, and it was a good bit of reporting showing that this is a tax loophole that was used for a bunch of years by wealthy folks it's kind of complicated, but basically you would use your one of your favorite charities to shelter income, shelter investment gains for a certain number of years, and thereby reduce your capital gains tax bill. And it was outlawed, this loophole, but there was a grandfathering for people who already had money in these kind of arrangements. And Romney's had hundreds of thousands of dollars, apparently, with the Mormon Church, and has thereby reduced his tax bill. In the scale of things, it's not as big of a tax avoidance situation as some of the other things that he's managed to do. But again, we just don't know. There are all these other things like this that may be in these returns, and we just don't know.
Well, just in closing, Alec MacGillis, given that Mitt Romney has not made himself available to the press for over the last 3 weeks, that he still hasn't released his tax returns and he hasn't released his bundlers list, in these last couple of days, so many people have already voted. Is there any, we could make your article compulsory reading, Romney Secrecy, Did He Get Away With It? But the question remains, there's not much time, right?
Yeah, I think the important thing is for people to think of the broader point, too, which is that all the things that we don't know about his programs, his policies. I mean, that's the other part of this, is that I don't know if we've ever had a candidate who, in the last stage of the campaign, we just don't know. We don't know how he proposes, for instance, to balance the budget with these big tax cuts that he's proposing. We don't know he says he's going to close all sorts of loopholes and deductions to make up the lost revenue, but he won't say which ones. So that's just one example of we just do not know what he proposes to do in these major areas of domestic policy. We don't know how he says he's going to do away with Obamacare and replace it. We don't know what he'll replace it with. We don't know what he'll replace the Dodd-Frank law with. It's just quite remarkable. We just don't know.
And that has echoes, of course, Richard Nixon had his famous plan to get out of the Vietnam War, to end the Vietnam War. He kept saying,
right,
I've got a plan, but he never showed the plan, and it turned out that, in fact, he didn't end it, he protracted it. So there's an historical precedent
right there.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us, Alec MacGillis.
Yes, thanks, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Alec MacGillis, who's a senior editor at The New Republic, serving as the magazine's chief correspondent for the 2012 campaign. Previously, he spent 5 years at The Washington Post covering politics and domestic policy, and also wrote for The Baltimore Sun. His latest article at The New Republic is Romney Secrecy, Did He Get Away With It? We're going to take a brief station break. We'll be back talking with an historian, the author of the Don't Know Much series of books. His latest book is Don't Know Much About the American Presidency, and he says the economy is not the key to incumbents winning.
You live.